The death toll from the earthquake in Western Asia has now surpassed 25,000 people. Survivors and the dead continue to be pulled from rubble of collapsed buildings. After initially remaining silent about the disaster, Turkish President Erdogan has acknowledged the government's response was not as quick as it should have been. NPR's Peter Kenyon visited the town of Osmaniye, where he found civilians pitching in to help aid workers.
Walking up a dirt road toward an aid distribution area on the edge of Osmaniye, a young boy passes in the opposite direction, struggling a bit with a load of bottled water and food. He says, "Do you have a bag?" Which, sadly, I don't have to offer. But when asked if he wants a banana, he says, "No, thank you," and continues on his way. Up ahead, a fenced-in field is covered in a small mountain of plastic bags. Young men move among them, upending the bags onto a growing pile of clothing, shoes, and other donations. I meet 27-year-old schoolteacher Sibel Dahli, who says she didn't see any aid arriving the first 2 days after the quake, but since then the distribution has picked up. She says her two-story building was cracked in the earthquake, so they moved, along with two other families, into one of the tent cities being set up by Turkey's Emergency Management Agency. Meanwhile, she says she's been in mourning for 17 members of her extended family who perished in the quake. She says returning home is the last thing on her mind right now.
Even if the house is safe, I can't go in right now. It feels like it's shaking when I go inside the house. I can't even pass by the wall of the house. The tent is good enough for me right now.
Local official Omer Çelik says he keeps busy distributing women and children's clothing, blankets, and whatever arrives from the government or aid groups. He says the latest estimate he's heard is that 70% to 80% of the buildings in the area are damaged. 56-year-old Gonul asked that her family name not be used. She's worried about retribution from authorities for speaking to the media about the quake. She says when the shaking began, she ran to her balcony and clung to the iron bars outside the window.
I held on to the iron bars. The shaking was so strong. I went back and forth, back and forth.
I asked her about President Erdogan's visit to the area this week and his comments to the effect that no state could have dealt with a disaster of this magnitude. She wasn't impressed, but chose to focus on Erdogan's political ally, the ultra-nationalist MHP, because MHP leader Devlet Bahçeli is from Osmaniye.
This is his hometown. He had to show up. He's losing votes in his hometown.
A walk through this part of Osmaniye seems to offer anecdotal evidence supporting one theory about why some houses were barely damaged in the earthquake, but others totally collapsed. Here, perhaps surprisingly, older buildings seem to have fared better than newer ones. The theory holds that older buildings, built before new regulations and codes went into effect, were generally sturdier and survived better. The suspicion is that some contractors maximized profits by not complying with the new rules put in place following previous earthquakes. Now, as the government faces another period of learning lessons and planning for future disasters, those who survived in Osmaniye wait to learn if their homes will be rebuilt or if they must be demolished. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Osmaniye, Turkey. Thank you.